And good now, everyone, right now, wherever and whenever you are. Feels like it's very much an admin day, but our leading... What was our leading thing? Oh, yeah, creating live Yammer events in Microsoft Teams and making that a little simpler. There's some changes to usage reports, threat protection bits and pieces, and some changes to our pins within Office. Let's take a look.
The following episode was recorded live on YouTube. Check out our website at messagecenter.show for all of our episodes.
Good now, Daniel. Good.
Hello.
Right now. Yeah, what is right now in Nashville, Tennessee?
It is 12 straight up noon, and in Nashville, Tennessee, we are actually the home of one of the newest expansion teams for Major League Soccer. wanted to make sure I put that in there for the Nashville Football Club. Yeah, things are going well.
Wait, hang on. How football or here? Soccer? You said soccer, and then it's football.
Well, so here's the thing, Daryl, and there's going to be a lot of people. I know we have quite a few international people that listen to the show, and there's going to be some people who take some objection to this. They're not going to like what I'm about to say.
Right.
But a few years ago, I looked into the history of the word soccer and why it's soccer for the U.S. and football for pretty much everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And technically, see, this is the part where people are just not going to be happy with me at all.
Yep.
Technically, both are correct. And I'm just going to leave it at that. I don't want us to get into an explanation as
okay,
to
chat
why
room.
It is.
Feel free to branch off there and talk about that.
But it is actually technically correct. And the person, one of the people that I read up on and was following was a chap from Glasgow, England, and he admitted that while now more people call it football, it is not incorrect to call it soccer. So
there we go.
There we go.
Well,
your
origins. We've now created a new segment where we take a word and we explore the origins and poke fun at ourselves.
Oh, we do that every week.
Oh, well, yeah, actually, yeah, but I mean,
yeah,
we're just finding different ways to poke fun at ourselves,
right?
The 365 Message Center show, where we help you plan for change, prevent or fix, stay informed. We're going to see a bit later on that there's a new category in there somewhere. I don't think we have to change our sticker, mate, but in the service health,
we've got a lot of them.
I know. Let's kick into it. We have a new experience for Microsoft 365 Admin Center defaulting to the new experience MC202930. You've been seeing that new experience with us forever. Not forever, okay. But ever since it's been out and we've had a switch. So it's now going to be the default experience. You can go back to classic Admin Center. I can go with that line of labeling. If you really want to, there'll be a switch there that you can go back. But hey, I like it. Do you like it, Daniel? New Admin Center.
Well, I think for those that are longtime viewers and listeners of the show will remember, I didn't like it at first, and especially the new Message Center, and I did not like the way it worked. However, I switched and have gotten used to it, and I like it just fine now. They've made some updates that made it a little better for me, but for the most part, I kind of like the old way better. But hey, here we are, it's all right.
Well, we may be able to get a guest on the show, or even like the Deep Dive podcast, someone from Microsoft whose responsibility it is to take a look again at the Message Center and listen to suggestions and improvements. Marsha. I forget her surname, but we'll get back to you on that one. I know there's a couple of messages here which you had last week that I have this week around Chrome right. version 80 and preparing for change. Because it's such an impactful change there, be aware and prepared. Websites you use may not work in Chrome 80, MC202944. Because it's so impactful, they are repeating it we're closing in on the date that changes are happening. So take a
and
fresh
I think
look
this
at
is
those.
This is very interesting that I don't know. When I first read this, I was like, why are they being so emphatic about websites that you use? Oh, by the way, we've updated ours. So Microsoft's will be fine.
Yeah.
Other websites that you use may not work with Chrome because they're going to break stuff. It's like, I don't know. Yes, it's important, and I think organizations need to be paying attention to this one, but I don't know.
Edge Chromium has just been launched, and maybe if you use Chromium, you'll be okay.
Yeah, every time this thing, and this message is actually, this is the third, it is in my message center again.
Again.
It has been updated again, and so every time it pops up, this is the third time, I just get a little bit of chuckle. Like, okay. Well,
take a look. Like, it says Microsoft has updated Dynamics 365 and Power Platform.
Mm-hmm.
The last time, was it mentioning something else?
Mm.
No?
I do not remember.
Yeah. I think that they're using the same message to talk about multiple platforms. And the reason that I see it is because Power Platform is part of my subscription. So I don't necessarily use Dynamics, but that's why I'm seeing that message. Anyway, test your sites again. If you haven't already, start to, because the date that things are changing is February 17th, when Chrome 80 is released. Yeah. There's a quick message there too. If you're seeing this in your tenant, but you don't use Dynamics 365, it's probably because the Power Platform is all part of that product group. 2020 release Wave 1 plans for Dynamics 365 and Power Platform now available, MC202948. And I think it was this one. I'm just seeing it in a different... Yeah, I think it was this one. I was looking at this message from the Admin Mobile app, and instead of the category Stay Informed, it had Opportunity. Opportunity. Now, there's some honesty there. Because the message is saying, hey, you might want to look at these things. We've got some great stuff coming out for Dynamics 365. It's your opportunity to check it out. Yet in the desktop or browser version, I'm saying Stay Informed.
I am seeing Stay Informed. That's why I was like, yeah, it's different. And, you know, we're all about consistency around here. Well, at least I am. That's my big thing.
I'm consistently inconsistent, Daniel.
Okay, well, that's fine. Anyway, I don't think we're going to have a new category, hopefully, because that'll just mess us up. But for this release wave that they're calling these now, for the Dynamics group, which is Dynamics 365 and Power Platform,
mm-hmm.
kind of gives you that. Here's what we're working on and we'll be releasing in the next 3 months or so. This is kind of what we're doing. And so it's really a good read. Now, some of it is fuzzy, I'll say, in that, you know, there's not a whole lot of detail in some of these, but enough to kind of get an idea of what direction, you know, they're going to. You know, things like Power BI, integrating more artificial intelligence in Power BI, and the working with big data in Azure data services. So things like that, just an example of, you know, it'll give you a good idea, but, you know, won't give you all the detail because they're still working on it. You know, it's not something that they're ready to kind of give details about, but, you know, get kind of a look and feel of what's coming down the pipe.
Yep. It's an invite to check it out, try that user experience with the enhancements.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the typical format for a Stay Informed message. As I said, it's probably meant to have opportunities sitting there. Take a look. We have some changes to the Microsoft 365 usage reports, in that there are two more administrator roles that can read these reports. This is MC203112, and the roles are I think it was around
Their
team.
Teams
There it is.
roles, they
Yeah,
are.
Teams Communications Administrator and Teams Service Administrator. That will be able to read the usage analytics. Along with, you can see in that message there too, there's other roles that you may recognize and might be using within your organization that can read these usage reports. Good to see that it's split out to that role-based access control, and that people can see what they need to see. Usage analytics are important to look at.
They are, and we've talked about this over the course of, I don't know, it's been, feels like the last 4 months, maybe 5 months, that Microsoft has done a lot of splitting out roles and working on the administration of, not just administration of turning a feature on here, managing a user or whatever. Here we're seeing, you know, being able to get into usage reports, but being able to separate that out so that I don't have to give you too much of a role, you know, like a global administrator, just so you can manage users or just so you can look at reports. You shouldn't have all of those rights to be able to do that. So, and I think what this is kind of the transition from a lot of organizations had, I feel like, that I worked with on-prem, you know, they had, this control was split out. You had Exchange administrators and SharePoint administrators, and you had domain administrators and network administrators, and they're kind of spread out, and they did their thing. They worked together sometimes, but they did their thing and worked well. Well, when you went into Office 365, it was, well, yeah, I can make you a SharePoint administrator, but because you need to do this, which is register an app for the whole company, for instance, you're going to need to be a global admin. Okay, yeah, I can register you as an Exchange admin, but you're going to need to be able to do that. So now you're going to have to be a global admin. Yeah. And I feel like it went from distributed rights to, well, now there's a lot of people that have these elevated rights that we really don't want them to, but they need to now kind of trying to bring in that back down, even all the way down to reporting level. So I think, sorry for that long diatribe there, but I'm just trying to say that I think it's coming back to a place where I think a lot of administrators would like it to be. You need to do this X. Well, I'll give you permission to do X. I don't want to give you permission to do everything in the alphabet.
Yeah, and I think what it also signals is that there is definitely roles for people as they shift from on-prem to cloud. And they're making it nice and clear that here's your access to the administrative level that you need. So yeah, good to see. Another one kind of on the administrative front, updated feature, new service health dashboard status, which is false positive, 203289. I guess they've been getting a few reports and things that have come in. I remember there was that one that came out recently allowing you to say, oh, me too, or this is what I'm seeing.
Right.
Yeah. And now this is kind of like closing that loop on that. Oh, look, you've reported this, but you know, it's a false positive. It's something that is affecting the service, but it's from outside of our control. So, or yeah, checking that out. So, good to see another status in there. Should encourage you really. While we're just pausing there for a minute, use this. Okay, if something is wrong with your service and gone out, this is one of the first places you should check. Sure, check and see on your usual social feeds and whatever about, oh, hey, are you having this problem? But also check here, because over the years, this has become more accurate, more about your tenant and less about general stuff. Do check to see if there's something in there, if you're suffering some kind of outage or weird behavior with the service.
100% agree. That's right.
Well, here's our headline.
Yes, sir.
New feature, live events in Yammer produced from your device. MC203291. And when I read it, I went, oh, from your device. And you know me, I love live streaming
your
and
phone.
Playing around with bits. And I thought, from your device, that means you can live stream with Yammer from your device. And it's equivalent to Facebook, for example, workplace by Facebook. It's not what it means. So nope. I calmed down from there. And it's something that they introduced at Ignite, and it is about being able to spin up a live event that is produced in Teams, but you can create that schedule for that event. You can view the event from Yammer, but your production team, your presenters, all your people are joining a Teams meeting to produce that event. So that's the key difference that they're releasing there. Now, why does that matter?
I think there's several things that matter, but about this, the one thing I was about to say, if you can think about what this means, how you would do this. This is Teams is your organization, and it's made for this communication with the organization, right? And Teams is this, that's Yammer, and Teams is this communication within a groups, right? To get work done. And so we come together as a group to produce this video and, collaborate. We're switching, maybe we're sharing screens, we have cameras, you know, the whole deal, right? We're, think a town hall for your organization or, you know, something similar, and earnings release, you know, those kind of things. And so you come together as a team to do that, and you don't want people joining the team. Because as we know, people who join teams can share their own screen and they can mute other people and do some crazy things that you don't want to happen during this production. So you have this team, you come together, you do the production, and then you broadcast over Yammer, which is that place, which is kind of that top-down communication is the way I like to describe Yammer. And I think it's a perfect fit, to be honest. The biggest thing that worries me about when I'm doing a presentation and I'm in Teams, for instance, is having people have issues, whether it's with their device, they don't mute, they try to share their screen while accidentally or even on purpose. I mean, just all that kind of stuff. I don't want any of that when I'm trying to do something like what this is for. And this is for a broadcast, a live event broadcast for your organization, if that makes sense.
Yeah, definitely. Now, I do recall a recent message in the message center that there's a attendee role coming through to Teams, so that'll protect presenters from having attendees take over with
when
screens.
We eventually get it. I mean, this is something we've had in Skype for a while, a long time.
Yeah.
And so when people move over to Teams, they feel like, oh, well, I have that. I'm not a presenter, so I don't need to worry. What does this button do? Oops, I just took over sharing, or I muted the presenter, or whatever. So,
So this Yammer live event produced in Teams is going to make it easier for people to produce these events who aren't familiar with working with external encoders and all the other extra stuff that comes along with it. You can invite remote presenters. They don't have to physically be there. So that's all good too. The ability for taking that Yammer event and extending it across the org, embedding it in your web pages from your SharePoint, your intranet pages, all very good stuff. New feature improving the sign-in experience for Microsoft Teams. Feels like it's an announcement, a thing, but it's more about bridging this gap to help organizations that have a different username on-prem compared to their cloud username. So this is MC203292. I'm facing this with a customer right now where they haven't yet done the change of UPNs. They're bringing on other organizations. So their on-prem UPN is kind of an old .NET thing, which doesn't match their cloud domain. And this change takes out some kind of frustration in that when you're working out of that environment and you fire up Teams, it can autofill that username that doesn't match your cloud identity. So it's not going to fill in your cloud identity automatically for you, but at least it takes that frustration out and you can pop in the right username.
Your email address. And it is a big frustration for people, especially if you're rolling this out. Think about adoption and how your users are going to adopt this when...
Thinking about it. Done.
It is very... It's not a very good experience when, you need to do this. And then, do this. Oh, I'm sorry about that error. You'll get that every time. Just click. No, none of that. We want them to be able to go to a page, log in, and be done with it. So,
Advanced protection. New reports becoming available. 203, 355. I'm trying to see from that distance there.
Yes, MC203355. Yes.
Yep.
ATP.
Yes. So we've got a compromised user report for Exchange Online Protection. So you can see if there's anyone that's exhibiting any suspicious behavior, restricted behavior, and that report's going to pull that together. The good thing about these reports is you can be all reactive and look at this one alert, but it's reports that show the trend. It shows, I need to give it this kind of attention, or I need help from people to give it this kind of attention. Reports will help you change your strategy to appropriately deal with the situation.
Well, and I think for a lot of people who are not in this field, they think there's this room in every organization where, you know, security people are sitting there and they have, you know, their six screens, you know, up, and they've got graphs doing
CCTV
this.
Room.
Right. And they've got, you know, they're monitoring every transaction, emails and commerce, and there's waiting and they're seeing all these threats coming in. And there's someone in a smartly dressed suit, you know, walking around going.
Stands behind them, right?
Yes. And going, oh,
get onto that. Get onto that threat right
there. There it is. Attack it. Attack it. It's not the way it works, people. it's the guy in the cube or the gal in the cube next to you. Who's got the same number of monitors you do, and is trying
maybe
to
one more,
out,
maybe one
maybe,
more.
But trying to manage all of this and do other stuff. And so, you know, these reports, while they're not, you know, for the rest of us that are not security professionals, and at least that's not their primary job, you know, I might look at that and go, yeah, I don't care. But someone in your organization should care. Mm. And getting more of these reports of, okay, who are the people that are targeted, who are the people that are doing some suspicious stuff, meaning maybe their account sending a bunch of emails out, you know, all of this kind of stuff. The more and more reports we can get like this, the easier and better job our security personnel can do. So I'm loving these.
Yeah. Now, I mean, the other one there about URL protection status reports, I did put a question out there too.
Yeah. These are the URL protection. This is where, you know, you receive an email and, you know, you click on the URL and it goes off into Office 365 and goes, is this a good URL or not?
I like the way that they used to describe that it goes ahead and opens that link on your behalf. And it's like the bomb squad. They're taking it off to the side and going, let's open that up and detonate that and see
if you think about threats, if I don't know what if everyone in my organization has gotten an email and they all have bad links in them?
Yeah.
And how will I ever know if I don't have this report that shows, by the way, all those safe links have prevented all these attacks from happening, and it's coming from this vector, and this is how, you know, so I could take action to, you know, to block that IP or, you know, do whatever. So anyway, again, loving these reports.
Yep. Yeah, I remember the question I put out there, and maybe someone else knows who's watching the show or in the chat room. But the great thing about the URL protection is that it checks that link out. What I'm seeing more and more now is the type of attack where the link is innocent to begin with, but it's activated a couple of days later. So after it's gained the receiver's trust, the next time they go and open that link because they have to refer back to some content, there it is. Boom. Gotcha. So, yeah, wanting to see, maybe someone can chime in there at some point, whether the ATP service for URL protection can continue to check that link each time. We have an updated threat protection status report. This is MC203362. What have we got? It's a report that identifies threat detection technology. Oh, okay, I remember this one. And so when you're opening up these reports, you've got a lot more detail.
Yes, it is. It is, again, new views of those threats, and coinciding with what we were just talking about, again, being able to get more reports, but then also more views by the different technology that's being used, the policy type, you know, what policy is catching this. And so we can Maybe, and that's really important, so you can fine tune those policies. Maybe it could get better. Yes, it caught it, but maybe it could get better. Maybe, you know, move that policy up. And then delivery status of, did it get there or did we stop it? So I think this is, again, just coinciding with what we were talking about before, more reports for the security people, the better. And I think this status report is one of those.
Yeah. Now, into another one that I had considered looking at this and going, is there another headline we could choose other than the Yammer Live event? I was interested in this one because I've used pens a lot within OneNote, within Office, for example. Meet the new pen toolbox in Office. Yes. MC203-206. And it's centering around adding a new pen for something that they already can do, the markup, right? When you're using ink to mark up a document, well, now it's a pen, it's not just a button. You've got lasso coming into Word, so it means circle ink. Lasso.
I'm sorry.
Lasso.
Who?
Lasso. Like, no? How lasso? Do you say that?
There's only one O. But why would you call it lasso?
Lasso? What do you say?
Lasso.
I mean, lasso. Really, I've never heard a someone from the South say it. Here we go. All right. I mean, look, this is you guys are where cowboys came from. Not that lasso, what? Lassos. Wait, what? Sorry,
oh, I'm sorry. You're confusing a few things here, but about geography, and that's okay. Mm-hmm. But speaking of the lasso tool,
yes.
Now it's coming to Word. Yes. I absolutely love that. I use the lasso tool in OneNote all the time.
Yep.
And it's really nice for, especially if you're doing drawing, you're like, oh, I need to move this so I can expand this other thing. You know, lasso that puppy and move it. Oh, it's so wonderful. Yep. So be able to do this in Word, whether it's being able to do drawing or tables or I don't know. It's going to be interesting to, it says entire words or shapes is what it says we can move and delete and change. But anyway, there's others, but I'm really excited about the lasso tool.
Shush. Maybe it's like one of those words that's just stuck with me. I don't get into many cowboy kind of conversations.
You know, we are from really opposite sides of the world, different hemispheres, no matter the way you look at it. And so I get it. It's fine if we use different
aluminum,
aluminium. How do you
thank
say
you.
It?
Say it correctly. You... Thank you. Aluminum.
No,
so yeah, branching off there, a couple more things to say about the pen. You've got a point eraser. That means that it will erase whatever's under the eraser rather than the whole ink stroke. Mm-hmm. And one thing I wanted to say too, that there was this good feature, which maybe has been underused, and they're actually backtracking and not supporting it anymore. Being able to sort of sync your preferred and favorite pens across different devices and different office opportunities. Why are they removing that?
I don't know. I think it's just to make us mad because that doesn't make sense. When you are, I have multiple devices. I'm looking at four different devices here on my desk. And it would be great for them to sync all across it. You know, I make
so you're
going
to have to set those pens up again across each of those. Yes. Now, the only thing I can think of that might conflict, and the reason they've backtracked on that, is because this remembering the last color that you used or custom colors. Maybe they can't roam that, so they've pulled that back. I don't know. We're assuming stuff.
Yeah, let's stop doing that because I hear what you just said and I understand, but to me, that's like, but that's not even close to being a good enough reason to not sync the other settings.
How about underused service based on our telemetry, and it costs us this much per year to run it out of the Azure data centers, so we are removing it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay. I just want to call it out there. It's just one of the cloud considerations that we have to think of when, you know, these services are all part of our subscription, but they all cost something, which is why we see some things come and go. Office Mix, for example. Docs.com, stuff like that, you know, it costs to run. Oh, no. We've got a couple more to go. We've got compliance services rolling out to Office 365 plans. Wowzers. So check it out. Dark mode. Yeah. Formatting. Fun. Where's the switch here to turn off dark
For
mode?
those that are on the audio podcast, the people at Microsoft did some wonderful formatting on this message. This is MC202942.
How's that, eh? You like my skills there?
I like your
Selected
skills,
it.
so he's highlighting it so we can actually
Yep.
read it. So bringing these new compliance items to those that subscribe to Advanced Compliance or E5, Office 365 E5. So records management, customer key, which I think is one of those that a lot of people are interested in as well,
Yep.
and data investigations. So nice tools here. I would like to, and I think I want to make a nice little spot here. If you did not listen to last week's audio version of the podcast, I would highly suggest you to do that. We interviewed the wonderful and very intelligent and very informed in these kind of areas.
Ooh, three titles.
Oh yes, she gets a re it's a really long title. And that's Joanne Klein. She is a contributor to Regarding 365 as well. But I'm sure she is liking this as well. But I think I wanted to stop and make sure, hey, if you did not listen to the audio version of the podcast, then go check it out. Download it, subscribe, download it, and check it. If you watch the YouTube version, then you can just go to the end and listen to the interview we had. So anyway, that's a nice plug I gave for our show, right?
Definitely, yeah. What plug for the podcast,
Yeah.
and to check these new capabilities out. You could jump into the additional information. I don't know if I trust whether I've set up these scenes correctly. It's going to look a little funny. Oh, okay. Additional
Oh, look.
information takes you to the product page. So if
Yeah,
you
but
want to go through,
you're floating. Your
I know.
screen behind you is, oh, that's
Yeah,
just, oh, so
I know.
wonderful.
It's
Maybe
just
I need to get a
off-putting.
green screen too.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. Anyway, last one for the day. We have known issue for dialing into Skype Business Teams conference IDs. So, is it stay informed? Hang on, let me think about this. Stay informed, prevent or fix, plan for change. Prevent or fix is where I'd put this one. Not that I guess you could do anything
Yes.
about it, but.
Right. And so that's where I think we're kind of maybe splitting hairs
Gray.
here, but I think it's a stay informed because it's we don't have a fix for this. So it is for the users in China region, they're experiencing problems dialing into Skype for Business and Teams conference IDs.
I
So
don't know why this is in my tenant. Are you seeing it in your
It's in
tenant?
mine too. It's in mine as well.
Yeah.
I don't understand why it's in mine as well. I'm guessing this is one of those. Maybe it's
Awareness.
because we might have meetings with people that are in the China region. I'm not sure.
Maybe.
I don't know. But anyway, so having some issues, they're trying to figure stuff out. I mean, that's basically what this one is.
Yeah. Read through the detail if you want it. Yeah, like I question, their tenants are in a special arrangement with a local partner that basically is Office 365 to the rest of China. So it's really, really clear when you know, is this message pertaining to this tenant? Is it coming out of here? Well, then no, it's not. So it must be just for awareness. But yeah, that's about it for the messages. I wanted to just also call out too that the modern SharePoint library experience is arriving in Microsoft Teams, and a few people are getting it. It's drip feeding out. Should be finished soon, rolled out to the whole world. But yeah, do take a look at that and give some advice to people as they're starting to use it. Maybe plan a bit of change management. Get some messaging out there about how to use this new view, because we've been waiting for it for a while, and it's really good. I did drop a quick video up there on my channel to explore a little of it, just looking at one scenario of basic document publishing, the publishing life cycle. But I'm sure there's other ways that we can help people to understand some of the advantages of using the modern SharePoint view within the Microsoft Teams files tab. Right. Have you seen it yet, Daniel, in your tenants?
No, I haven't yet, but I'm sure it's coming very soon.
Yep, so one key thing was being able to synchronize your document library directly from that view. We've got the additional columns that we might have created. There's check-in, check-out, a few other things.
But basically be able to use it. I think it's interesting just to see the, I don't know. I've been asked this recently. And I was able to respond and give answers, but the question was, why should I ever go to SharePoint? And it was in relation to this, with these announcements that's coming. And so I had some answers. I think there's still some reason. There's several reasons why SharePoint's still important and still is a destination. But I'm not sure that I'm thinking. I mean, this is Microsoft's vision, right? As Teams is that digital workplace, yeah. and you're just working out of it and not having to ever go, you know, here and there and everywhere to get your job done. So
it's the hub for teamwork. SharePoint's been brought into Teams, so much so that Jeff Tepper has been brought into Teams. Do you like what I did there?
Yeah. The other way around, yes, Teams is now that organization is reporting up through Jeff Tepper, along with SharePoint and OneDrive. And I believe he still has Office apps, although there's some question about what is considered an Office app. And we had a conversation on Twitter. But anyway, so I think the landscape, the way things are going, it's gonna be interesting and to keep up with that here as we move through, you know, transitioning and transforming how people do work.
So thanks to everyone who tuned in, joined us in the chat room. Lots of valuable chat there. It's really awesome. Like Daniel said a little earlier, check out the podcast. It will usually have a deep dive on another topic. So Daniel's really good at following up on interviews there. And you know where to find our stories at regarding365.com. Catch us again next week, and we'll see you again. Bye for now.
Bye-bye.